Okay, I am going to stand. I'm going to give a report like Lisbeth so I don't have to say it many, many times. I did fall down 2 weeks ago, Saturday morning, upstairs on the linoleum because I didn't wear my boots and my shoes slipped down under me on the floor, and I broke my kneecap in half. And it was a clear break across. So I'm fine, but it's been 2 weeks, and I know that the Lord is healing me. I get my next report Monday. But I'm expecting for a miracle, and I'm believing for a quick healing. I want to thank all of you in the congregation. I have been so blessed that I can't even tell you the meals, the food, the prayers, the visits, the phone calls. I haven't been lonely. I've been in for 2 weeks, and I just said, Lord, I don't know when I've had a two-week break from life like this. So I was enjoying the freedom and the peace and quiet and my rest. So I just want to give him all the glory. What the enemy may have meant for evil, God's going to turn around for good. And so I just thank him and praise him for that. I have a message this morning, and I just pray that the Lord will help me get through it, because every time I read it, I've made such a mess of my notes with editing. I just hope I can get it through. But I just wanted to start by saying that in our times of intercessory prayer upstairs, and if you don't come Saturday morning for intercessory prayer, you're missing something so glorious. I'm just telling you, the presence of God, like Mark said, fell this morning. We didn't do it. It just he just shows up, and it's amazing. But he has been guiding us to pray for the congregation, and we've been praying this for a while, that we're going to begin to look more like what he wants us to look like. And he's been showing us that we are to look like his family, his mishpucha in this house. And that we are a family, and I've experienced that this week, that really loves and cares for one another. We're just not like a church where you come and you sit in a service, you sing some songs, you hear a word, and you go home. We are a family here. And so we're going to be showing the world the picture of unity and brotherly love in the house, right? But he's also calling us in this season to get into our godly ordained positions. There is room for everyone in this house, everyone to be involved in some meaningful participation for the furtherance of the vision and mission of this congregation. So he's everyone has a place, and the Lord has given you all gifts that are needed to get the work done. We become a congregation of leaders. Our leadership meeting is about 20 people or more. We are a congregation of leaders, and God is raising up us as leaders because of what's ahead. And what's ahead is a move of God that is coming to our community, our city, to this house, that is of such magnitude that if we were to really understand it, I don't think we could contain it. So the whole purpose of it is so that he can release the signs, wonders, and miracles through us, not for our glory, but to confirm the word of the Lord. It confirms his word. And so this move of God, we need one another. So this morning, my job is to help you look at the gifts that are in the scriptures. I am going through basically those that are found in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, those three chapters, and Ephesians 4, 11, and 14. So we're going to look at 22 of them, and they're the ones that are listed in the scriptures. Now these gifts, now think about us as brothers in unity, these gifts have to function together, and because they have supernatural endowment, and they will equip us as we function together to get the job done that the Lord wants to do. So today we're going to briefly explore the definition of gift from the Hebrew and Greek. We're going to look at the spiritual gifts, and I hope you will find the ones you might be personally operating in. And we are also going to see how we can employ them in a greater way for the building up of the kingdom of God, and thus honoring giving honor to the one who gives us the gifts. You did nothing to get your gift. It is his supernatural divine endowment that he just gives it to you, right? And then lastly, we're going to see, and this is the important part, how we must learn how to accept one another's unique personality and gifts in love, because some of these gifts can play off of each other, and the love has got to be there, guys. This is so we can grow together as a functional family and not a dysfunctional family in God. So that's what I'm going to try to do today. So when I used to teach young children, I loved Eric Carle's story, The Mixed Up Chameleon. So we're going to see a picture of the cover of the book. Next slide. The Mixed Up Chameleon by Eric Carle. He's a very famous children's author. And I use this book to help children understand why that while there are many things about us that make us alike, each one of us are uniquely different. And different is good. We can embrace different or diversity in one another. I wanted the children to learn how to accept and value the differences in one another and work together. So, however, we have to know that when we see the difference in one another, we can't say to the other person, why aren't I that way, or why can't I be that way, or think about how we should behave. When the crazy mixed up chameleon did that, this is what he ended up looking like. He wanted the head of an elephant and the tail of a fox, and he wanted the fins of a fish, and why can't I have those things? And so he stopped looking like the beautiful creature that God created him to be. Okay? Yes. So when I was able to, I would quote scripture, and I taught in Christian schools, so I was able to. So I would use the scripture reference of Psalm 139, 13, and 14 to go along with the theme. And I'm using the Tree of Life version here. For you have created my conscience. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am awesomely, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows very well. So for the third time today, I'm going to ask you to look around at your brothers and sisters in the house. And I'm going to say, just look at the beautiful family that God's put together here. Hey. And there are many, many ways that we are alike. We all breathe, right? We're all members of the human race. And we all have the same basic needs of food, shelter, safety, and human relationships. We are part of this congregation, and we all worship the same God, right? Yet each one of us is so uniquely different. We all have fingerprints, and you know, everybody, we all have fingers that function, but we all have different fingerprints, right? And we all have facial features, but they're all a little bit different, so we can tell each other apart. It'd be kind of fun if they were all the same, right? So you get the picture, same and different. But it's our differences that make us collectively great as a family, a congregation that makes us one. Only the Lord himself could have put together such a kaleidoscope of individuals to function as his family in unity in this place. I mean, really. So, there are the scriptures that speak of our uniqueness, our special, equally divine, God-given gifts and callings. Some gifts we have are given to us at conception, while others come with a born-from-above experience. And still others come upon us at different times, I won't say randomly, because the Holy Spirit gives as is needed, so that when you are called to a task to do for the Lord, you see somebody, you're out in the street witnessing, and you see somebody that needs healing, well, the gift of healing may come upon you at that time to pray and believe for healing. So the gifts come as they are needed. So the gifts that tell us that about our uniqueness, we'll look at those. It says, do not be deceived, dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good and perfect gift is from the Lord. In Romans it says, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Once he gives the gifts, he's not going to take it away from you. And thirdly, in Corinthians, it says, for in him you were made rich in every way, in all speaking and knowledge, just as the evidence of Messiah was confirmed among you. So you are not lacking. You are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revealing of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Now there are scriptures that speak about our uniqueness, but not only are we individual and unique, we have to depend on one another. So there's scriptures that speak of our interdependence. And in Romans it says, for just as we have many parts in one body, all the parts do not have the same function, right? So we who are many are one body in Messiah, and everyone parts of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace that was given us. And in Ephesians it says, from him the whole body is fitly joined and held together. I may have added the word there. and with every supporting ligament. The proper working of each individual part produces the body's growth for the building itself up in love. And in 1 Corinthians it says, for the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? And if the ear says, since I'm not an ear, and if the ear says, since I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it for this reason any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he desired, right? If they were all one part, where would the body be? But now we are many parts, yet one body. Well, since you now see and understand that with our uniqueness and our individually divined ordained gift, we have a role to play in working our uniqueness out together. It should be a beautiful thing, like some great functioning machine. However, it's just not that easy sometimes. We don't always get along, in other words, right? Yep, and just like a machine needs oil to make the parts run smoothly together, we need the help of the Ruach to make room for one another's differences. I'll say that again, to make room for one another's differences in order to have our parts functioning smoothly together. Likewise, we are each part of his body. We are placed in this congregation, and we need our interdependence on one another to function as a family together. We cannot do it alone. We not only need our interdependence on one another, but we have to also understand and realize that we can do nothing of ourselves. Whoever has a gift here cannot outshine anyone else. We can't stand on our own. And this is, so we have to, because it gives way to pride. And also, we have to not be independent, because when we start walking out in being independent, we actually hurt other parts of the body when we do that. So we can't have any cowboys here or hot shots. We're one family. So I had a very good illustration of this with my leg. You know, I need two legs to walk, but this leg decided it was going to go on a little extended vacation here. And so my arms can't become my legs for me, right? And because my leg isn't working, I mean, I'm not able to bend my knee. My leg is healed, but I'm not supposed to bend my knee because it won't allow the bone to heal. Everything else in my body, so I had to work a little bit harder because my legs decided not to work. You get the picture. So there's some more scriptures that say that not only do we have to be interdependent with one another, but we all have to be dependent on the Lord. So let's look at those scriptures. In John 15, it says, abide in me, and I will I will abide in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of its own unless it abides on the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. So if we have a gift and we're not abiding in the Lord, that gift can't operate fully the way it's designed to operate. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, we really can do nothing. And the last one I love, you did not choose me, beloved. I chose you. I selected you so that you would go and produce fruit, and your fruit would remain. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Amen. So what have we seen from these scriptures so far? Number one, that our divine gifts and calling are unique, and they are freely given to us by the Lord. And each one has gifts for the purpose of building up this body. Number two, our uniqueness as created beings is intentionally designed for the functioning of the body together with total interdependence on one another. And the third point is we can really do no lasting thing for God on our own. We must be totally dependent on the giver, Yeshua, to fully function together as his holy body. So now that you've got the gist of where I'm going, I want to pray. So Father, I thank you for this word that you've placed in my heart and for all the illustrations you've given me. And now I pray, Father, that you will get it to your people and through your people, that they can begin to see what they function in, what gifts you've given them, and how they can use that and understand that that gift will only grow and mature as they invest it and use it. We can't bury that gift in the ground like the unfaithful servant in the parable, but we have to invest it for the kingdom of God. So I pray, Father, for your people to understand what you've given them and to step out in faith and exercise that, Father, and be useful for your kingdom, that when you return, you're going to find us all busy going about your business, building the kingdom together. In Yeshua's name, amen. So now I'm going to define a little bit, because I don't like going through big, long definitions of what a gift means. Google, I always go to Google now. I used to go to the encyclopedia, but Google's so much easier. Google defines a gift as a thing that is given willingly to someone without payment, a present. We all understand that level. Webster, who we all love because he gets to the spiritual, the old Webster dictionaries, goes beyond that basic definition, and he includes that the spiritual gifts given to mankind the spiritual gifts given to mankind and the sacrificial offerings that we present to the Lord. In my own understanding of the gifts working in my life, I've concluded that, first of all, my unique abilities are something that I did not purchase, did not acquire because I deserved it, or merit, or experience, or education, or natural means, first of all. Secondly of all, that my personal gifts go way beyond what my natural ability could ever do. Or in the words of Urkel, looking back at the things I've done, did I do that? I honestly do. I look back and go, did I do that? My goodness. When I think of some of the things the Lord has allowed me to orchestrate in this house even, the prayer events and the things we've done, I look back and go, Lord, only you could have brought this to me, orchestrated this, gotten all these people coordinated, and got it done beautifully, much better than I ever could have. So you have to understand, these are true gifts. These are not your personality doing something for the Lord. According to Strong's Concordance, the word for gift in Hebrew has six different words, and also in the Greek there are six different words for the word gift. Like the word love in English, we have, I can love chocolate and I can love a person, but it means something very different. without getting too technical here, I'm just going to give you a synopsis. In the Hebrew, a gift can mean a present or a reward or gift giving. But it also can be a donation or a bribe or a bestowment or an inheritance. Some of us inherit gifts. It can be an offering of sacrifice. Typically, in the Hebrew definitions, it's bloodless and voluntary. And the word Hebrew for here is mincha, which I think is interesting because this comes right from the Hebrew liturgy. The mincha prayers are the prayers, the offerings given to the Lord in about midday in the liturgy, in Hebrew liturgy. In the Greek, a gift can mean a divine gratuity, a special deliverance. Now, you're going to see in the Greek the definitions are much more spiritual. So it's a divine gratuity, but it can be a special deliverance, and we know where our deliverance comes from. It is a spiritual endowment. It is a miraculous faculty or ability. It is a special spiritual free gift. And the Greek word here is the word charisma, which we all are familiar with. It's the root word of the word charismatic. And it is the one that is most often used in the New Covenant for the spiritual gifts. So, what are the spiritual gifts according to the scriptures? Well, there are many, many gifts from the Lord. And they're for his anointed and his appointed ones. And beyond the 22 that we're going to look at in a minute, the following also are gifts from Adonai. The greatest gift I think he ever gave us besides salvation is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is his gift. He said, wait for the gift and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And also we have the 9 fruit character attributes of the Holy Spirit, our gifts. He gives us gifts of mercy, grace. He gives to every man the measure of faith. To all believers, it's salvation. We all get the equal measure of faith. He gives us the gifts of righteousness, justice, freedom, deliverances. Who can put God in a box or understand his ways? But for the sake of our understanding here, I'm going to use my Greek thinking. And I put the gifts, the way they are from the scriptures, into 3 categories. And they are clustered in the New Covenant. So the first are the 5-fold ministry gifts from Ephesians. These are gifts given to some for the equipping and building of the body of Messiah for service, leading to maturity, to help the body to mature. So those gifts are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, rabbis and pastors, also called shepherds, and teachers. In Romans 12, the next slide, there are 7 serving gifts in the scripture. These are given with the instructions that these must operate through measure of faith. These gifts can only operate through faith. Okay? Each of these gifts must be motivated by love and not hypocrisy or competitive jealousy. They are motivated by, by love. Okay. But with the instruction to be tenderly devoted to one another in service to the Lord. So that is prophecy, which differs from the gift and office of the prophet. Serving, teaching, encouraging, and also the word exhortation in love is here. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, if somebody was exhorting me, I thought it was like a scolding. But it's not. It's not. It's building somebody up with a good word. That's what exhortation means. Giving is a gift. Leading, showing mercy. And then there are the 9 power gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. These gifts are from the Ruach, and he gives gifts to each one as he determines, not based on our own merits or abilities, to confirm his word. So it's not to give us glory in any way. But when these gifts come upon you, they're to confirm the word, and God alone gets the glory. And that's the power gifts of the word of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. So those are the gifts. And when they see them in operation in our brothers and sisters, we have to understand again that the power comes from the Ruach alone. So God gets all the glory. Each of the power gifts is a wonderful thing, but the word says it is the same Spirit that bestows the power in each one of them. And they are manifested again to show his glory and to confirm his word. And in First Corinthians, okay, I think I just read that, so I'm going backwards here. Some things I want you to know. Before, I'm going to give you a worksheet in a few minutes, and so that you will have it to take with you, so that you're not having to madly take notes or wanting to remember. I've typed it all out for you, and I've given you scripture references, and you're going to take it home so you can look up the scriptures and research it, because I really want you just to listen. I don't want you to be distracted and say, now, where is she in this message? What was I writing? And have to disturb the one next to you and say, what did she say? When you're writing notes. Again, I just want you to understand before we get into them, it's God alone that determines them, that he's distributed them freely. It doesn't cost us anything. He gives them to all mankind. And this is so hard to understand. He gives them to the believer and the non-believer. They get the gifts too. But not all people operate their gifts under the guidance of the Ruach. But remember also the scripture that says once he's given a gift, he don't take it back. Using the gifts helps us to grow to maturity. That's why we have to use them. They are used to edify, to equip one another. They're used to bring him greater glory. And the responsibility in operating any of the gifts or in the gifts is that we have to operate in humility. Okay? So there are several places online that you can go to find out what your spiritual gifts are. And I did most of my research online. And you just type in Google, a spiritual gifts test. And you don't have to pay for one because there's a lot of places that have them online free. Now, I want to caution you, when you do this, this is not the gospel, okay? So don't take your results as the gospel. Okay, because you can take the test many times and they will come out differently, a little bit differently. Because some gifts, and this is why, because you are growing and maturing as a believer, and where you may operate in giftedness in this stage of your life, God may equip you to do something else, and then the gifts will shift. So the results will shift on these tests. So once you take the test, it's not like this is an end-all to end-all, because you will see that you're operating differently. And I will give you an example. So what do you think my number one spiritual gift is? Guess what? It's not. It's down there. It's like number 7, which surprised me, because for many years it was number 1, but not anymore. So my number 3rd gift, third runner-up, is exhortation, which includes teaching. Aha. But it's also encouraging and getting people into their position. I am more of an exhorter than I am a teacher. My second runner-up, which surprised me, is mercy. Because I remember years ago sitting in Rabbi's office and saying, I don't know how to love people. I don't love people. Help me, you know. Now I cry at everything. And what the gift of mercy does, it gives me an ear supernaturally. I have to tell you, it's not my ability because it's not me. But sometimes when people talk to me, I hear their words, but I discern their heart. And that's how the mercy gifts were. I'm hearing the hurting in them. They may be, you know, complaining about somebody, and why are they? But inside I'm saying, I'm hearing the hurt, and I'm hearing the cry, and I'm loving on them because this mercy gift kicks in. And so I cry. I cry at TV commercials. I cry at the dog commercials, the poor pets that are abused. I cry at the children, at the wounded warriors, and you know, anyway. But my number one gift, ta-da, and this blew me away, is shepherding. I've begun to function in more leadership over multiple ministries than I ever have at any other time in my life. I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that I would become a shepherd. But you all are my beloved, and you all are my number one prayer priority. And so I can see where the Lord has shifted me there. Trust me, these are gifts. Again, I did nothing to attain them. And like Solomon, I am seeking the wisdom of the Lord how to operate in them, because I don't want to fall short. So, again, when I'm done with the teaching, this teaching, I am going to be giving you all of these notes that I'm going to do now, practically verbatim for what I'm going to say. I just want you to listen and receive, okay? So, we can go to the next slide. I'm going to go in alphabetical order, so you can just follow along. And this is the order. And actually, like I said, there are 22 of them. So if anybody wants to catch your breath before I go on, do it now. Okay. We're going to start with the gift of administration. And you're going to begin to see people in this congregation, and you're going to begin to think of people in the Bible that you know, like Moses and some of the prophets and things that actually function this way. This gift allows one to see the bigger picture of tasks at hand and the ability to lead others and organize others to the task or to tasks. They don't do it themselves, but they organize people to do it. Typically, they're born leaders. They can quickly and easily see the needed task and delegate and inspire people or groups of people to the task. These are ones that can pick up many little fragments of things, make it cohesive, and get the job done. They're the ones that cross the T's and dot the I's. Now, some of these gifts have a downside. So here's the downside of administration. These people can become really frustrated with the rest of us who just can't keep up with the pace. Because they see, this is the way to do it, this is how it gets done, and the rest of us are going, you know, so they get frustrated. Apostleship. This is not to be confused with the office of apostle, one of the fivefold ministry gifts, or those chosen by Yeshua in the first century who were commissioned as eyewitnesses to write the scriptures. Nobody's writing any new scriptures today, and they're not supposed to be. But apostleship, it operates differently from the office of apostle. This can be one commissioned for a particular task or sent out ones with a good news message. I think of Jonathan Burness. They are the true pioneers of ministries or even new congregations. They plant, oversee, and train. They are the leaders of leaders. They also move in power gifts of signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm the word of the Lord. Craftsmanship. Typically, these individuals are gifted with creative ability to work with their hands. They might have a true artistic personality, meaning they often prefer to work alone, and they seem to be ones that are really slow to move on a task. You say, okay, I asked you to do this 3 weeks ago. Why isn't this done yet? Why isn't this built? But the problem is that they're not slow. Working slow. The problem is how they process mentally. They look at a task and they can see a multiple number of ways to get it done. And they're evaluating all of these and processing through of it before they select the one they're going to go. So there's the frustration with our craftsmen. If they're seemingly that they're slow getting something done, it's just that they're processing. And so you gotta love them because that's the gift operating in them. Get it? Okay, discernment. This is a supernatural ability to see through falsehoods. Mm-hmm. This gift enables us to tell the real deal from the counterfeit. Discernment can be the sensitivity to people, environments, and circumstances to differentiate between what is God, what is of Satan, and what is of the world, and what is of the flesh. Evangelism. You're going to see somebody in this room that really floats in this gift. That I just looked at. In reality, we are all commissioned by the Lord to go and make disciples of all people, right? We all have the ability of extending godly virtue and compassion to all mankind. We're all called to do that. Beyond that, the evangelists are the ones that seem to have the ability to easily lead others to become born from above. They have a passion and a drive for humanity to come to faith and can get frustrated with the rest of us who do not share in their enthusiasm. They seem to have that extra measure of zeal, overcoming the typical fear of defeat and rejection to reach all different kinds of people with the knowledge of the good news in this regard. Exhortation. These people are builders and encouragers of the body of Messiah. They are your spiritual cheerleaders. Their drive is to urge others towards spiritual growth and maturity. This gift partners with the gift of prophecy and mercy, and I can say the teaching is in there. They are sometimes perceived as ones. This is my problem. You sometimes see me as one that doesn't know how to shut it off. Okay, I got it. I got this, Judith. How many of you? I hear that from a lot of people. My kids used to say, you're teaching me again. You know, you can't shut the teacher button off in you because you're so passionate about that. And you're, again, you need the gift of wisdom to move when you speak. These people have a good command of the word. Those that are giving godly wisdom. Faith. This gift goes beyond the saving faith to mountain-moving faith to believe and move in the signs, wonders, and miracles. People who move out in the gift of faith, and we all have the same measure of faith, but people who begin to go out and move in this have learned to go on what I call Trust 101, a very basic, I believe God, but will. Can I believe him to do it for me? They go beyond that so that they can see the miraculous. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Faith is a gift that grows the more it's exercised. And it's akin to Abraham's faith to believe God's promise through Isaac. When he was going to sacrifice his son Isaac at Mount Moriah, he tells his people behind him, as he's going with the wood and his son, and he's saying, I and the boy will return. That's faith, knowing what was ahead of him. The gift of giving. Oh, we're doing well. We all love the act of giving. This gift goes beyond the giving of tithes and offerings, which is the standard. This is associated with the ability to create wealth and give out financial gifts for the furthering of God's kingdom. These individuals have, and it's a supernatural ability to build wealth and steward wealth, and they are motivated toward giving above and beyond to meet the needs of ministries and programs. Healings, and this is plural because there are many kinds of healings, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. People who operate in the gift see the manifestation of supernatural healing by the laying on of hands. This gift is accompanied with great faith for God to perform miracles. It often operates with the gift of the word of knowledge. Helps. This is the ability to see the needs of the people and ministries before most of the others do. The person with this gift relishes in coming alongside of others in means of supporting them to get the task done. Generally, they prefer not to lead, but to support, and get a great deal of satisfaction when they see the job completed. Hospitality. Hospitality is an attribute that all believers are supposed to have, because the scripture says, you don't know if you're entertaining angels unaware, right? But the gift is typically accompanied with a gift of serving, bringing the gifted one great joy in seeing that the environment and the atmosphere is welcoming and comforting to everyone. These are the ones that really know how to throw a party. They do. I mean, there's never a dull moment in their parties. They just keep it going. They know. They just know. Intercession, one near and dear to my heart. Those who operate in the gift love praying. They love to spend time in the presence of the Lord so that when they do pray, they pray what they are getting supernaturally from the Holy Spirit about a situation. They don't like to pray from the head. They like to pray from the Spirit. They will oftentimes feel a really special burden to pray for individuals or situations in a deeper way than most would pray. They are highly motivated to see the Lord speaking in supernatural ways, meaning they've seen signs in everyday things, like what time is the clock saying when I wake up in the morning? Is that clock saying 11:11 again? You know, oh, that's a sign, open doors. You know, that's the way they move. The rest of us, downside is what's so obvious to the intercessor, the other person is going, huh? You know, what's wrong? That person's weird, but they're not being weird. They're actually being prophetic and seeing where you can't see. learn to understand the gifts so you can love your brothers and sisters. Words of knowledge. This gift allows the individual to bring greater truth or understanding to a situation through divinely imparted revelation without their natural understanding or prior knowledge of it. These are the people that read your mail. The person comes up to you with a word of knowledge, they can boom, 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 say, I saw you, it's sitting at the kitchen table, you were doing this, and this is what the Lord is saying. You know, I've seen it. Unlike the counterfeit gift of soothsayers or psychic people, the one with this gift has a great deal of understanding of the scriptures, and the words revealed 100% line up with the word. They are also ones to bring glory and revelation to the Lord rather than the individual. So those that move in a word of knowledge, their words will be 100% on target. Leadership. Like those with the gift of administration, leaders see a bigger picture, vision, or idea. What sets them apart from administration is that they are more concerned with people than the administrators are with getting the job done. Okay, so real leaders are interested in people. A lot of people are in leadership that aren't really leaders. They aren't concerned about people. Benevolent leaders draw people. They draw them because of their care and relationship skills. And people love them, and they love to work harder for them because of the relationship involved that they're able to build. Godly leaders care about drawing the people closer to the Lord more than to themselves. Okay, next one. We're almost done. Mercy. All of us have received the gift of mercy at salvation, and we are commanded to show mercy because we've all received it. However, the gift here enables one to move toward those who are really suffering, to weep with those who weep. There is a supernatural ability to identify ones who are not doing well. You can just look at a person, and they may be all like this, but that gift of mercy comes on and you know. Resulting from the tendency to want to fix problems, this is the downside. This one gift has the qualifying directive that says to show mercy with cheerfulness because the heart is weeping with what others are suffering. So God says, don't let it break your heart. Be cheerful. Miracles. This is the gift that will alter natural events to change in a supernatural way, bringing glory and honor to the Lord. Both those praying for and those receiving miracles need faith to move the mountain. This gift also operates through unbelievers, to bring unbelievers to the saving faith. Let me say it again. The gift of miracles operates to bring unbelievers to the saving faith. So, for example, if the evangelist is going out and prays for somebody to be healed and they're instantaneously healed, it's for the manifestation of that person to come to the Lord. Therefore, it is of the utmost importance that those operating in the gift of miracles give the glory to God and do not take it to themselves as if it were their own power, but continue in humility. Miracles can be associated with healings, but also for miracles needed for other areas, such as relationship, finances, and everything else. Pastor, rabbi, and shepherd. This gift also operates with leadership and teaching. Shepherds are overseers of people and ministries. The scriptures call them the under-shepherds of the great shepherd. And this carries a tremendous amount of responsibility, both in the natural and the spiritual. So think of our rabbi and Pastor Tom. They carry this responsibility for all of us. As under shepherds, they oversee to the sheep, and I'm speaking metaphorically, that they are safe from the predators. They care for those that are sick and wounded. They see to our feeding and nourishment and to our rest. They know their flocks personally. They know us personally. And they know well the condition of our needs. They know when one is missing and will go to great lengths to seek them out. The sheep know the shepherd's voice and will trustingly follow because of the relationship and care of the shepherd. The gift is also accompanied by many other gifts that comes with shepherding. They gifts including faith, prayer, mercy, and leadership. These things are needed for the building up, the teaching, training, guidance, wisdom, and oversight of God's precious people. My friend who went to Bible school used to tell me, sheep bite. Shepherds often get criticized and told what to do by their sheep. They get brokenhearted when they see those that they love and have invested time in fall away into sin, not heeding their counsel, which can cause them to lose strength of heart. There's no real downtime for a shepherd. They have to be on call 24/7, 365 and a quarter for their flock. So we are admonished in scriptures to pray for those in authority over us. Hopefully, this flock will be a blessing to our leaders and not have them lose heart. Prophecy. The gift of prophecy is not to be confused with the office of prophet. I've said this many times. The office of prophet is one of the fivefold ministry, and I think of Jonathan Kahn when I think of prophet, besides Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. Prophets bring forth 100% accurate message from God to serve as a warning or a message of what God is about to do or giving instruction for a people to change, repent, and turn. The gift of prophecy does not have that high responsibility. In fact, we are told in the scriptures that we're to test and to try a prophetic word. So if you've received a prophetic word from somebody moving under the spirit of prophecy, you're to test and try that word. It should line up with the scriptures. And it should bring you some type of confirmation to something that's already known. It's also meant to edify. So if somebody says is giving you a prophetic word and you feel condemned afterward, you got to know that that's not from God. It doesn't operate that way. The gifts give glory and honor to God. So if someone is prophesying something woe and doom and gloom over you, you take that to Rabbi. You tell them you're not receiving that word. You don't have to receive it. Okay, they're not a prophet, but they're moving in a gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is given to ones who spend much time in the scripture and in personal prayer, training their ears to hear and their spirit to receive and discern what the Lord is speaking. And we're admonished not to stop that gift. We shouldn't stifle the gift of prophecy when it's coming forth. We're supposed to receive it. But that word needs to line up and bring a peaceful word, bring word of confirmation or edification. The gift of service. Like a human heart continuously pumps to supply the needed nutrients of blood to all the other parts of the body so that they can function, those who moved with the gift of serving are the ones who will put themselves out and put themselves last. They are diligent in serving in order to fill in the spaces in the body that need help. They see all the spaces, they rush in to try to fill them up. Their motive, like a human heart, is to be sure that the rest of us are functioning and fulfilling the Great Commission and for the furtherance of ministries to succeed. Here's the downside of serving. Those with the gift will serve to the point of exhaustion and overexertion. Their sole motivation is to bring God glory. They prefer to serve in the background and are typically very humble, not drawing attention to themselves. It's up to the rest of us, because we understand the downside, to ensure that these people don't get exhausted, that they get times of refreshment, they get assistance from the rest of us, that we recognize they're serving diligently, entirely. And if you try to tell them to take rest, they're probably going to be guilty feeling that they need to, that they take rest. That's how motivated they are to serve. But we have to safeguard them, and we have to watch and make sure we're not pushing them beyond because there's nobody else to do the job. Tongues. The supernatural power gift from Adonai was given to all followers of Yeshua 40 days after the atoning sacrifice of his life, death, and resurrection for all humanity. Amen. It was the manifestation of the promised gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit on all who become born from above through faith in Yeshua. The Greek word for tongues literally means languages, as the Ruach enables believers to speak in a language either known or unknown. Known to others, not to them necessarily. I've heard of people who have given a word in tongues and are speaking perfect languages, something they never studied. I've heard of that happening. And then prayer language could be an unknown one. Typically, tongues is a prayer language, and it's used by believers to speak mysteries to God. It is a private thing, and it enables us to pray and intercede for situations when English or our first language just isn't adequate enough. It's used to edify the person praying, as the Ruach enables. It's not a cerebral language, but it's a controlled, we're not like supernatural one that comes from the innermost being of a person, from the place of infilling. All receive the infilling of the Ruach at salvation. But the ability to speak in tongues sometimes has to be released through faith and through prayer. It is something that everyone can operate in, and it is a blessing. However, the supernatural gift is for the one that can interpret another's tongue. Okay? Generally speaking, tongues is not for the public assembly. Like somebody were to stand up and start giving this big message in tongues, they're out of order. Unless there is someone with a gift of the interpretation of tongues to translate it so that the rest of the body can be edified. Words of wisdom. Wisdom is a supernatural gift from God, does not necessarily come from having gray hair or with age. Young ones can move in the word of wisdom. As I heard, with the shooting in Florida on Channel 10, they had four of these teenagers sitting up there. And this one guy, he was so wise. He just said, I wish people would stop making this a political agenda and care more about the people and the families that are suffering and have lost people. What a word of wisdom from a teenager. Whew. It's not the same as the word of knowledge, but it grows out of our experience, and it's beyond the wisdom of this world or the natural wisdom that a person has. The supernatural gift of wisdom cultivates in ones who fear the Lord and pursue godly living with all of their hearts. Then you will be able to give godly counsel and advice when it comes from that area. So we've just taken a look at 22 gifts. And what makes me wonder and marvel at the creation of mankind is that this list of 22 and the other things that I've said is by no means exhaustive. I haven't even touched on the 7 pillars of wisdom that are in Proverbs, or the 8 plus intelligences of human beings, which are God-given abilities in music and the arts and mathematical reasoning and understanding the sciences and the ability to communicate in the spoken and written word. I could go on. We are such a gifted people. Let's give God the glory. So, I did do teaching. Did I not speak teaching? I didn't do teaching. I have to go back and do teaching. I skipped it. All right, one more, and then you'll get your worksheet. Okay. Teaching. Thank you, Linda and Alan. Those with the calling of teacher, or those who are moved upon by the Holy Spirit to teach, are ones who love to study and go deep into the meanings and the truths of the Scripture. They can spend hours researching and digging into the deeper, greater understanding of the written word. And they delight, they get so excited. They delight in sharing what they've learned with the body in clarity and depth. What the downside is, what they get so joyful in sharing, many of us will go around and going, huh? I don't get it. So that can be very frustrating to those with a gift. Teachers delight in truth and get upset. They get upset when the truth isn't taught in error or when it's disregarded by others, taken lightly. So I have a song for Marty Goetz and Misha Goetz, and I'd like to play it for you. It's based on Romans 12. And just be blessed as the ushers are going to pass out my worksheet. And I have all 22 gifts for you, all this teaching, and all of the scriptures. And Tom, I didn't copy. I did my own. No plagiarism. We being many. How did you know? Comes your exhortation. I'm almost done here, I promise you. But I do want you not to look at your sheets for a few minutes while I conclude, okay? So please just put them aside. And I did look up every one of these scriptures, and they all apply. So as you study it, you're going to get to understand each other a lot more. The thing is, as human beings, when we learn, we do two things. We compare with things that we know, and we contrast when things are different. And that's how we process and learn new pieces of information. And the same way, when we are working together as a body, we compare and contrast ourselves. So we might compare ourselves to someone who seems to have a gift that we might desire, like the mixed up chameleon, and say, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I be like that? And yet, you gotta understand, that's not who you were created to be. On the other hand, we contrast, and so sometimes we find fault, and we look at somebody who's operating in their gift, and we say, well, what's wrong with that person? I don't like that person. Why are they always doing this? Why can't they stop teaching? Why won't they just be quiet for a while and listen? But they're operating in their gift. And the thing is, the thing that is most dear to my heart, and as you look around, each one of you are operating in your gifts. Each one of you are moving in the way that God designed you to move. And if God made you that way, I can't come against what God has made. And so we need to make room in our hearts, and we need to caution on the side of love before we're ready to criticize one another and tear each other up. that's the conclusion that I have. Caution on the side of love. So I kind of got ahead of my notes here, but everyone really has to rally to the task now. We are called now to let these gifts come forth like never before. Identify yourself in these. Identify, ask the Lord, because with the gift is a calling. With the gift is a commission. With the gift is a position, and we all need to click into position. And as the intercessors have been seeing over the past few weeks, puzzle pieces clicking together, that's what God wants to do in this house. You each have a part to play. And I'm going to tell you, giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord to someone who is thirsty is a big deal. Don't think that your gift has to be big. It's little. It's saying, I love you. Calling someone, I thought of you today. I'm praying for you. It doesn't have to be big. But know that when you move out in these gifts and you exercise them, use them for the Lord, they are going to cause you to grow to maturity. And this is what the body is. And we need to love one another and become to unity in the house. And so I have two scriptures I want to leave with you, and then I'm done. Next, Romans, okay. I'm pink in here and you're yellow up there. That's what's confusing me. In Romans 12, it says, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And in other translation, it says it's your reasonable. Like, that's the basic, guys. That isn't a big deal. That's the very basic. It's your reasonable service. He bought you with a price. Our reasonable service is now to give our lives to him as a spiritual sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what the will of God is. What is the will of God? What is the good? What is good and acceptable and perfect? And lastly, let love be without hypocrisy, detesting what is evil, holding fast to what is good. Be tenderly devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo one another with giving honor. Do not be lagging in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Keep serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in distresses, persisting in prayer, contributing to the needs of the Kiddushim, extending hospitality. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live in peace, shalom, with all people. Amen.